Good morning, Village Church. My name is Matt Bowman, and I'm one of the pastors here at the Village Church. And last week, we started our summer series that we're calling Faith for Something Better. And we're looking at just one chapter of the Bible, Hebrews chapter 11, this hall of faith, and seeing what God has to teach us about the faith of those who lived so long ago, how these people are one people with us through faith. And this morning, we're looking at the faith of Enoch. And the sermon is titled, Faith and Walking with God. So imagine you're camping in Yosemite. Any Yosemite people in here? Yeah, we have a group of people who go to Yosemite every single year, and they do some camping, which is great. And so imagine that you're camping in Yosemite. And Pastor David, who loves Yosemite, he says, hey, some of us are going for a walk in the morning. Would you like to come? Now, you're a little skeptical because if Pastor David said it, you know everything is not what it seems. But you figure, see, sure, sounds fun. So you're walking in the morning, and David says, hey, we're going to walk to the top of this waterfall. So you get to the top of the waterfall. It's beautiful and everything like that. It's great. And then Pastor David says, okay, great. Only 12 more miles to go. And you think, this isn't walking. Like, we're way beyond walking at this point. This is now hiking. Okay? So it flattens off a little bit, and that's great. You see a deer. Okay, that's nice. And you're almost to the top of the hike, and you see this. And all of a sudden, you realize, I got myself into something I did not prepare for. I did not expect this walk to turn into a perilous thing. But it's not an adventure without peril, right? So sometimes walking can be a little more than you expected. Sometimes walking can be hard. But as anyone who has climbed Half Dome will tell you, even though it's hard, the view is absolutely worth it. What we're going to see this morning is that Enoch was a Hall of Fame walker. But he's also an odd biblical character. The Bible only talks about Enoch for 6 verses. You read them all this morning. But those 6 verses have spawned thousands of years of speculation as to what exactly happened to Enoch and what his life means. About 300 years before Jesus, someone wrote a book and put Enoch's name attached to it. This book's not in the Bible, but the author thought attaching his name would lend it credibility. And think about that. Enoch was such a legend that his life inspired fan fiction. And people have been fascinated with him for a long time. So this morning we're going to see what the Bible says about him, about his faith, and I'll share 3 points about what it means for our faith today. So let's start by reading the Old Testament passage from Genesis chapter 5, starting in verse 21. When Enoch had lived 65 years, he fathered Methuselah. Enoch walked with God after he fathered Methuselah 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Thus all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Before we get to Enoch's life, I wanted to talk about Enoch's lifespan. Now, some of you might think that 65 years is very, very old to father a child. And you might even say that 365 years is an impossible length of time to live an entire life. And some people might look at that, or non-Christians might look at that, and they say, see, you Christians, you think that people used to be able to live 365 years. You think that God flooded the entire earth. And you think that sometimes even donkeys can talk. I can't believe in a God who wrote a book like that. I can't believe in a faith that has such unscientific things in it. Has anyone ever had a conversation like that, maybe, with somebody? You know what I would say if someone said those things to me? I would say, you're absolutely right. I do believe those things. And you know what? I'll do you one better. I believe that a guy named Jesus died and rose 3 days later. That's what I believe. And I believe that this man, Jesus, was fully man and fully God. And if you don't believe that Jesus died and rose again, if you don't believe that he was fully man and fully God, guess what? You're not a Christian. This is what it means to be a Christian. All Christians believe this. And I don't understand when some people say that I believe in the resurrection and the incarnation and the virgin birth, but the 365 years bothers you? Surely God creating things out of nothing in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, surely that's a bigger claim than God used to give people longer lives. So my prayer for you this morning is that when we read things like Enoch lived 365 years, hopefully you see that that's not a stumbling block to Christians with the things that we believe. Next, you'll notice that we read about Enoch in a genealogy. Has anyone ever been tempted to skip the genealogies in their Bible reading plan every year? Has anyone ever asked Pastor Matt, hey, can you make a reading plan card for me that doesn't include Genesis chapter 5, Luke chapter 1, and the entire book of 1 Chronicles? Would we get more people reading the Bible that way? Maybe we would, and I understand that. But I think if you let them, you can learn wonderful things about God and his plan for us by looking at the genealogies. One thing is that the seventh person in a genealogy in the Bible is usually a favored person, and Enoch is the seventh person, the seventh generation from Adam. Next, you'll notice that there's a pattern in this genealogy that we see in Genesis 5. You can see this if you look at the two people that came right before Enoch. When Mahalalel lived 65 years, he fathered Jared. When Jared had lived 162 years, he fathered Enoch. When Enoch lived 65 years, he fathered Methuselah. So far, we see the same thing. And I know what some of you are probably thinking. You're like, yeah, see, Matt, this is why I skipped the genealogies. They're boring. But if you let them, I think the genealogies can teach us some amazing things about God. I'll show you. Look at verse 16. Mahalalel lived after he fathered Jared 830 years and had other sons and daughters. Jared lived after he fathered Enoch 800 years and had other sons and daughters. Verse 22. Enoch walked with God after he fathered Methuselah 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Did you catch what happened? Enoch breaks this pattern. Where Enoch's ancestors just lived, Enoch walked with God. Genesis 5 is set up with this pattern so that when it's broken, you take notice. There is something very special about Enoch here. And that's not all. Verse 23 says, thus all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. We are not told that Enoch died. We are told that all his days were 365 years, and then God took him. No one else in the genealogy has this feature. The only other person in the Bible who didn't die was Elijah, who got taken to heaven in a flaming chariot. This is one of the ways that the Bible tells you to slow down and take notice, to look at this man, because there is something very profound that is going on here. Our passage actually has its own unique structure. You can learn a lot about what the Bible wants to emphasize by looking at the structure of the passage. And you'll see that our passage is laid out in this A, B, A, B format, where the second pair of verses actually intensify the first. Verses 21 and 23, we're told about Enoch's age. Verses 22 and 24, we're told that Enoch walked with God. And we're told that he walked with God twice. And this is a very interesting statement. In English, it seems pretty straightforward what walking with God means, right? It means he obeyed the commands, he knew God. But the way that the Bible uses this Hebrew word actually gives a nuance of either repetition or continuation. It's what's called a hithpael stem. And it would be better to say that Enoch walked back and forth with God, or that Enoch walked continuously with God. The only other person in the Bible who walks with God this way is Enoch's great-grandson, Noah, in the very next chapter. And as we'll see next week, Noah found favor in the eyes of God and was blameless in his generation. Walking with God was not a one-time event for Enoch. It was a way of life. It was something that exemplified his life. And I actually think it shortened his life. I think God took Enoch because he didn't want him to experience death that sin had brought into the world. Enoch actually has the shortest lifespan in this genealogy. God saw that Enoch was faithful, and so he offered him the grace of not tasting death. And what we see here is that just like Noah, God preserves a righteous people for himself in the midst of the sin and the corruption in the world. God has always done this. He has always kept a remnant for himself, in good times and in bad. He kept the people of Israel through war and fallen kingdoms and exile and restoration and empires and then the growth of his church. God has always been faithful to preserve people who walk with him. More than that, we see that your faith, which is demonstrated by walking with God, has generational implications. Your great-grandchildren will be affected by your walk with God. You have a tremendous responsibility to live out a faithful witnesses to the promises of God that will be seen for generations after you. More than that, look at what it says in verse 22. Enoch walked with God after he fathered Methuselah, 300 years. Enoch didn't start walking with God until after he became a father. Becoming a parent is a very sobering thing, isn't it? It forces you to change and to consider the well-being of this child who is so dependent upon you. It makes you consider your walk with the Lord. I know it did for me. And I've talked with others in this church that it did the same thing for you. Maybe having children made you consider your faith in God. Whether you want to raise your children in church. Our children see us in our walk. They see us when we stumble and fall and when we need to ask for forgiveness. Have you ever asked your children for forgiveness? I asked my children for forgiveness less than 2 weeks ago when I overreacted to their behavior and it was sinful. My children see me read the Bible, teach the Bible, pray, leave the house to go teach apprentice, and preach on Sundays. They also need to see their father walking in repentance and obedience. And you know what? Every one of my three children looked at me and they said, "Dad, I forgive you." I wonder if Enoch looked at his child Methuselah and resolved to live a life marked by walking with God. What a tremendous responsibility that is. But also what a tremendous joy. God promises not only to bless the faithful who walk with him, but to bless the generations of those who walk with him. Know therefore that the Lord your God is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and steadfast love to those who love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. We see that principle here, where Enoch's great-grandson Noah walks in the exact same way as Enoch himself. What does it mean to walk with someone? My family, we take walks in our neighborhood, and the first thing that we do before we set off is we tell them where we're going. So our walks have different names. So if I tell my kids we're going on the lime tree walk, they know where we're going. Our walk's going to take us past the lime tree. We can say we're going on the mile loop walk, and they know what that means, that it's going to be a mile loop. You don't walk with someone very long if you've decided to take a different route. So when Enoch walks with God, Enoch decided to follow the path that God had mapped out. Enoch doesn't blaze his own trail or cut his own path. He is completely submitted to the will of God. And as we'll see in Hebrews, walking with God is the same thing as pleasing God. Walking with God is pleasing to God. And among other things, pleasing God involves obeying God. We don't tell God where to go. He tells us where to go. And if you're a Christian, you know that the primary way that God leads us is by his Holy Spirit talking to us through his word. You will not walk with God if you don't read his word. This is why our church has a Bible reading plan every year. Because we want to be a church that walks with God. And if we're going to do that, we have to know what God says in his word. If you allow all the other cultural voices to drown out the voice of the Holy Spirit, it won't be long before you discover that you're walking your own path alone. Have you ever walked your own path without God? Have you ever had a season in your life when you said, I'm going to do my own thing for a while. I'm going to follow my desires and my heart. I'm going to disregard God's ways, and I'm going to live for myself. If you're honest with yourself, how'd that go for you? Thank you, Bobby. I'm glad I have a witness, Bobby. I think like Bobby, you would say that it was not better for you. You weren't happier. You didn't find more joy or fulfillment on the lonely road without God. I think like Bobby, you'd answer, no, my life was not better. And if anyone answered, yes, my life was better without God, let me just say that you don't know anything about the peace that surpasses all understanding. You don't know anything about the joy that is so much fuller and better than anything that the world has to offer. You don't know anything about the faith that Paul described when he said, indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Come and see that the Lord is good, that he's better than anything that you can find in this world. C.S. Lewis said, God cannot give us a happiness and peace apart from himself, because it is not there. There is no such thing. True happiness and peace are only found in God, and the only way to please God is through faith in him. That's what we learned from Enoch. A life marked by walking with God is the best life, however long or short. And such people are not obscure, but they're made famous in the kingdom of God. Enoch certainly was. What else does it mean to walk with someone? It means to be in conversation with that person. Have you ever noticed that walking with someone instantly starts a conversation? Whether you're walking around the track or in your neighborhood or on a hike, people are always walking and talking. They're pointing out things that they see. They're talking about their lives or about their common experiences. If you walk in silence for very long, it gets awkward very fast. For Enoch to walk with God meant that he had a relationship that was in dialogue with God. And if you want to walk with God, you also need to talk with him through prayer. Prayer is how we stay in communication with God as we walk beside him. How does the Bible talk about walking with God? There's so many things that we could say here, but we'll look at a couple of verses quickly. Galatians 5:16. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. When you walk with God, he gives you his Holy Spirit to enable you to live a life that is pleasing to him and not pleasing to your sinful flesh. So walk by the Spirit. 1 John 1:7, but if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Walking in the light gives us fellowship with God and fellowship with one another because we are a forgiven people who have been cleansed from our sin. So walk in the light. Ephesians 5:1-2, therefore be imitators of God as beloved children. And walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. God loved us so much that he gave Jesus as the sacrifice for our sins. And because of that, Christians are now God's beloved children who can love others the way that God loves us. So walk in love. So now we arrive at Hebrews 11. We saw Enoch in his Old Testament context, and now we'll see how the New Testament interprets Enoch's life. Why is Enoch included in this hall of faith? Our author's telling us the story of the Old Testament in somewhat chronological order, and Enoch comes after Abel and before Noah. So Hebrews 11:5 says, "By faith Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found because God had taken him. Now before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God." This verse gives us the reason why Enoch was taken by God. It was so that he would not see death. He was taken for the purpose of not seeing death. It was a grace to Enoch from God. God took Enoch to be in his presence without going through the pains of death caused by the fall. The ground for this grace was Enoch's faith, demonstrated by a life that was pleasing to God. Here we see the first point about walking with God. Walking with God means believing in God. Notice this whole section about Enoch starts with by faith. By faith. It was by faith that Enoch walked with God and pleased God. And if you want to walk with God and you want to be in a relationship with God, the first thing you have to do is believe in him. This Sunday is Baptism Sunday. We got the baptismal here ready to go. We're going to baptize Reagan and Penny this morning, which is going to be fantastic and a joyous thing, yeah. And so, of course, we're so excited to do that. We're excited to baptize them. But the proper recipients of baptism are people who have genuine saving faith in Jesus Christ. Baptism doesn't cause faith. Faith is the prerequisite for baptism. Baptism is the beginning of your Christian life when you start walking with God. And the great thing about doing it on a Sunday is that all of us here, when we see Penny and Reagan get baptized, is we're all witnesses and we're all saying, we're going to walk with you and we're going to help you in your walk with God. We're going to come alongside you as your church family. So we're excited to baptize them this morning and to celebrate the grace through faith that they have received. You might say, Matt, my faith feels so weak sometimes. My faith isn't strong enough. And if that's you, I just wanted to tell you a very important truth. You're not saved because of the quantity of your faith. You are saved because of the object of your faith. You are not saved because of the strength of your faith. You're saved because of the strength of your Savior. Jesus' disciples asked him, Lord, increase our faith. I'd say, pray for Jesus to increase your faith, but rest assured that the faith of a mustard seed can move mountains. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, we walk by faith, not by sight. We walk by faith, not by sight. Even when my life is a mess, and even if I'm sick and suffering or lose my job or whatever else, when I have no earthly reason to believe that God is leading me, I still walk by faith and not by sight. And one of the first examples in the Bible we see of walking by faith is Enoch. Notice that Hebrews doesn't say that Enoch walked with God, as Genesis did. It says he pleased God. Here we see our second point about walking with God. Walking with God is obeying God. Do you see how closely related walking with God is to obeying him? Walking with God and obeying him are pleasing to him. It pleases God for us to walk with him because he loves us, and he wants us to be in relationship with him. And so often in the Bible, apostatizing and unbelief are portrayed as walking away from God. Isaiah 53:6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. We all have walked away from God at one point or another in disobedience. And it is Christ, the good shepherd, who took our iniquity and brought us back to himself. Jeremiah 7:24, but they did not obey or incline their ear, but walked in their own counsels and the stubbornness of their evil hearts and went backward and not forward. Here we see that walking in our own way is actually walking backwards and not forwards. Or what about Micah 4:5? We just heard this a few weeks ago as a church. For all the peoples walk, each in the name of its God, but we walk in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever. We all have a choice to walk in the names of the gods of our own making or in the name of the true and living God. And now we come to verse 6, which might sound harsh or controversial to some people. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. I think the word faith has been watered down in our culture. People say things like, I'm a person of faith, or I believe in God, or I'm spiritual but not religious. And yet the content of their faith is almost non-existent. What a lot of people mean by faith is, I believe that there's a God, and he mostly leaves me alone unless I need something. You say you believe in God? Okay, I would ask, what is God's name? What is God's son's name? Faith requires an object. What is the object of your faith? I met a man in Albania last month, and he said he was not a Christian, but he was still coming to church. So I asked him, why are you at church if you're not a Christian? And he said, I'm at church because I respect Jesus. And so right away, I'm at this crossroads, right? I can go that way or I can go this way. So through an interpreter, as gently and as kindly as I could, I said, you can respect someone without loving them. You can respect someone without worshiping them. Jesus is not just worthy of our respect. He's worthy of our worship. And he said to me, thank you for the advice. Our culture values faith as long as it doesn't go overboard. They value people who have morals and values so long as you don't believe that everyone should follow them. They respect your faith in God until you make exclusive claims about Jesus being the only way. And this is the controversial part about this verse in Hebrews. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. Do we really believe that? Do we really believe that a person can live a good moral life? And without faith, that life is not pleasing to God. Because that's what this verse is saying. You could build wells in Africa and rescue people from human trafficking and raise kids who are well-behaved. And if you don't proclaim Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, as the object of your faith, what eternal good have you actually accomplished? I know organizations who do a lot of good in the community, who hand out backpacks to kids and who feed the homeless, work with orphans, find housing for people. We do a lot of that stuff here as the Village Church. I remember when we filled this sanctuary with 200 people filling backpacks for children living in a migrant worker camp in Mexico, and we delivered them at Christmas time. We have village partners right now in El Salvador preparing a quinceañera for girls in an orphanage, over 100 of them. And that's going to take place this week. Recently, our Village Adventures kids raised over $7,000 to build a house in El Salvador this summer for the second year in a row. We love giving food to those in need. We love giving housing to people who are in need and shelter and clothing. And we love reminding people that they are made in the image of God. But food does not last. Clothing does not last. Shelter does not last. Eternity is what lasts. So in every opportunity that we have to care for those in need, we find ways to preach the eternal gospel of Jesus Christ, who is the only hope for salvation and the only thing that ultimately matters in the ultimate end. because compared to our time on earth, hell is a long time. Faith in God is what is pleasing to God. Remember in the Christmas story when the angels sang, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased"? God sent Jesus to redeem the people who would believe in him because those are the people who are pleasing to him. So if you're in here and you think that God is pleased with you because you're a good person, if you think God is pleased with you because of the good things that you've done, please let me say as humbly and as clearly as I can, without faith in Jesus Christ, you are not living a life that is pleasing to God. Jesus, the sacrifice for our sin, the Father gave him as the sacrifice for our sins, and by his sacrifice, we are forgiven. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. This is why in Genesis, we are told that Enoch walked with God. But Hebrews looks at that and says that Enoch was commended as having pleased God. Enoch did not walk with God, and then God was pleased with him. Enoch believed God, and that was pleasing to God. Then he was taken. His faith was pleasing to God, and that led to him walking in obedience. We don't just believe that there is some God in a general sense. We believe in a God who has a name, and in a God who has a Son, and in a God who has a Holy Spirit who dwells in his people. That's the God of the Bible. And this God rewards those who earnestly seek him. Did you see that in our verse? You can believe that there's a God in general without seeking after him. A lot of people only seek after God when something bad happens. Many people only seek God in crisis. And then when the crisis is over, they go back to ignoring God. Here we see the third point about walking with God. Walking with God is seeking after God. When you find him, you want more of him. You continue seeking after him. You want to know him more, you want to know his word more, and you want to know his people more. I've heard Pastor Matt tell the men in this church, pursue your wife. Pursue your wife. How weird would it be is after I got married to Kimberly that I never took her out on a date? I never wrote her a card. I never held her hand. Because I said, I've got her. She's mine. I guess the pursuing is over now. That would be awful. Because when you have faith in God and you taste his goodness and the joy that comes from knowing him, you can't help yourself. You just want more of it. And then you hear that he rewards those who seek him. Does that feel weird to anyone? Seeking after God because you want to get something from God? It would be bad if we only obeyed God because we wanted to get something from him. This would just be like a transactional relationship. The best relationships are based on love, not transaction. The best thing that God can give us is himself. When you earnestly seek God, as it says here, you will find him. God will give you what you want, himself. Faith requires an object, and what we see here is that the object of your faith and the goal of your faith are the same thing. The object of your faith is the goal of your faith. We believe in God so that we can get more of God, more of his peace, more of his presence, and more of his love that we display to others. This is why our mission statement here at the Village Church is we exist to glorify God by growing and multiplying disciples who are delighting in Jesus, declaring the good news about Jesus, and displaying the life of Jesus, because every village needs Jesus. Delighting comes first. Faith comes first. And then you walk in obedience and display Jesus' life to the world exactly because you believe. Enoch pleased God. but Jesus Christ, the Son of God, lived the only life that was perfectly pleasing to God. He committed no sin, yet he gave his life and died on the cross and raised 3 days later so that by faith you and I could be accepted before God. So when God looks at you, he doesn't see your sin and your faults and all the ways that you've fallen short. He considers you just as righteous as his Son, just as pleasing as his Son. Isn't that great news? As we close, I wanted to ask you a question. In each of these sermons this summer, we wanted to ask a question about what the next step of faith would look like for you, to issue you a challenge. So what would the next step of faith be for you? Let's look at our 3 points this morning: believing in God, obeying God, and seeking God. Maybe your next step involves believing in God. How do you need God to increase your faith? Is there an area of doubt? Could you use some assurance somewhere? Ask him for that. Maybe you don't believe in God at all. Ask him, God, help me to believe in you. He will answer. Maybe your next step is in obeying God. How do you need God's help in obeying him? Have you ever obeyed God? Today would be a really good day to start. Enoch didn't walk with God until he was 65 years old. Surely you can start today. Or maybe your next step is in seeking God. How do you need God's help in seeking him? Maybe you've grown stagnant or stale. Maybe you need a friend to walk alongside you as you seek God together. We have many amazing people in this church. Find one of them. Ask for help in seeking God. Because guess what happens? When you walk next to someone who is walking with God, you start walking with God too. And that brings us to our good news statement this morning. Every Sunday, we want to give you the good news of the gospel as it's tied to our passage. So this morning, our good news statement is, by placing our faith in Jesus, we can live lives that are pleasing to him by walking with him. And I pray that that's good news for all of you this morning. A life lived walking with God is the best life imaginable. So I pray that God draws us all to live lives of walking closely with him every day. Let's pray. Oh Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for the life of Enoch, where we can learn on how to please you by walking with you. Lord, I pray for everyone in here that you would increase our faith to help us to walk by believing in you, that you would increase the obedience in our lives, that we could live lives that are pleasing to you by obeying the things that you have commanded us to do. And Lord, I pray that you would give us all a heart to seek you, to run after you, to get closer to you, to know you more and more, and that we would help each other along to that end, to seek you because you're good, because you would give us the best life possible in this life. So Lord, we thank you for this time. We pray for the baptisms. What a joy that it's going to be to experience that, to see that. And I pray that as we go from here, that we'll be able to image your love to the world by walking closely with you. We thank you and praise you and pray this all in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord.